Coming up on The Green from Delaware Public Media, Governor John Carney offered his State of the State address this week, looking back on his first year in office and ahead to year two.
It is because of all this work that we did together, that I can tell you this. The state of our state is strong and getting stronger.
We'll have highlights from Carney's speech and reaction from both sides of the aisle to the priorities he laid out. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. We'll also hear about the Delaware Contemporary's new effort to foster connections with Chinese art and artists in our arts playlist. The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground, is next. But first, the latest news from NPR. Welcome to this week's edition of The Green. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Governor John Carney delivered his State of the State address before a joint session of the General Assembly this week. And in a just over 30-minute speech, he recounted where he saw progress during his first year in office and outlined his priorities for the coming year. Among his priorities, Carney placed Wilmington front and center, outlining multiple ways his administration is and plans to help the state's largest city.
I firmly believe that the strength of our state lies in the strength of our largest city. But as everyone here knows, we continue to face significant challenges in Wilmington that pose a threat to its long-term success. I've called Wilmington home for 3 decades. Tracy and I raised our 2 boys there, and I care deeply about its success. But we all have a stake in helping our city succeed. Its success is closely linked to the success of our state. That's why over the past year, Delawareans have seen this administration work with Mayor Pizicki and members of Wilmington City Council to devote unprecedented time and attention to making Wilmington strong again. Our approach has 3 parts: support city families, improve city schools, connect city residents with jobs and job training. To bring a sharper focus on families that are struggling, we reestablished the Family Services Cabinet Council. We've put a greater emphasis on coordination among state agencies that are tasked with serving our most vulnerable citizens. To do this, we're implementing the recommendations of the Centers for Disease Control report, which has intended to reduce violence in the city. We're starting by helping agencies better share data and target resources where they're needed the most. The Department of Health and Social Services launched a unit specifically dedicated to providing support for Wilmington's struggling neighborhoods. We're stationing caseworkers at community centers, at public libraries, and probation offices throughout the city. Our probation and parole officers are working arm in arm with Wilmington police officers on Operation Safe Streets. Senior probation officer William Walker was recently grazed by a bullet while helping to keep the streets of Wilmington safe. He is here with us today, along with his wife Angie and daughters Michelle and Taylor. Help me thank him for his great work. Of course, our greatest obligation in Wilmington is to our children. Already, we have taken steps that I believe will help our efforts in all city schools and schools across our state. We opened the Office of Innovation and Improvement at the Department of Ed to focus state energy on these and other high-need schools. We created opportunity grants to serve disadvantaged students, not just in Wilmington, but across the state. We put basic needs closets in schools in all 3 counties so students can have access to hygiene products, school supplies, and winter clothing in a dignified way. Christina School District's portion of the city schools Byard, Stubbs, Bancroft, Palmer, and Pulaski are in need of our help the most. So for the past 6 months, we've been trying to form a partnership with the district to lift up our city children. The state has offered Christina support for smaller class sizes, more professional development for teachers, critical capital upgrades, an early learning center, and parent supports. We're working with the Christina community to come up with ideas for using the existing school buildings in a way that is better for the children. This may be the most difficult thing we do during this administration, and it is clearly the most important. Next week, I'll be coming to you with a budget request to help us with these efforts, and I'll be asking for your support. In addition to our efforts to help our city schools, we've been working to provide stable environments for these children by helping their parents find jobs. The work we are doing to expand the Port of Wilmington is a critical piece of our plan, both for the city and to create blue-collar jobs for Delawareans statewide. Every month, hundreds of people, many from the city, show up at the Longshoremen's Hall in Southbridge looking for work. But the port is at a real crossroads. It needs to grow and change in order to survive. In the weeks ahead, we will present a plan for a new public-private partnership that holds the promise of significant new investments at the port. The plan will include a new port facility at Edgemoor and expanded job opportunities in the years to come. These good-paying jobs stabilize families and the neighborhoods where they live. Creating more port jobs is key to the economic success of our state. We can't undo decades of distress in Wilmington in a single year, but working with the mayor and city leaders, we're determined to turn the ship around. This year has been a good start. Let's work together to make Wilmington strong again.
Carney also focused on education and his continuing efforts to reframe the discussion on those issues across the state.
Of course, the best thing we can do to invest in our state's future is to invest in the quality education for every Delaware child. And we know that students are best prepared for success when they reach kindergarten ready to learn. We need to encourage Delaware's early learning centers to invest in their programs and continue to grow. And that's why I will propose additional funding for the STARS program in next year's budget. We will also propose expanding the number of math coaches in middle schools across the state. I saw firsthand the impact of these math coaches at McCullough Middle School in the Colonial School District. Math proficiency is critical in today's workforce, and I'm committed to ensuring more of our educators get this type of support. Working with you last year, we created the Opportunity Grants Program to provide new resources to students who need it most. We reached thousands of students across 13 schools last year. Next week, we will be proposing additional funding for opportunity grants that will more than triple the number of schools receiving this support. Schools could use this funding for things like after-school programs, reading interventions, or other resources to help students and teachers be successful. We want to target the resources towards schools like North Georgetown Elementary. There, I recently saw an amazing teacher, Maria Hazard. She works hard every day to help a group of Spanish-speaking children move one step closer to becoming our state's next doctors, lawyers, and teachers. Maria is here with us today. Let's thank her and her colleagues for their tremendous work. Our budget will target resources where they're needed the most, in the classroom. Teachers go to work every day to help Delaware's children succeed. Our budget will include a plan to hire close to 200 new teachers statewide to match enrollment growth in our schools. Teachers do our state's most important job, working on the front lines to prepare Delaware children for the future. That's why, working with Representative Bence and Senator Townsend and DSEA, we will create a student loan forgiveness program for educators. This program will help us retain educators in our highest need schools and in the highest demand subject areas. As we seek to help our lowest performing schools, we're studying models of excellence throughout the state, from Frederick Douglass Elementary School in Seaford, to Laurel Middle School, to Harlan Elementary School in North Wilmington. We're learning from their success, and we will seek to replicate it in other schools across our state.
The governor also took time to address the state budget, which is not as shaky as it was a year ago, but still in need of attention, according to Carney.
We're standing here today facing a much more positive financial picture than this time last year. We closed a $400 million budget shortfall, but we did not go far enough, unfortunately, and as a result, our long-term budget problems continue to linger. It's a simple math problem. Our long-term growth rate for our state spending is 2 times the growth rate of our revenues. We have to find a long-term way to limit our spending growth, and I've imposed this type of discipline on the budget that I'll introduce next week. The Budget Smoothing Task Force is considering several good ideas to bring more fiscal discipline to our spending patterns. For the long term, we need structural spending reform just as we need structural revenue changes. And I want to continue working with all of you, Democrats and Republicans, to do both. And this is important. We cannot build new ongoing spending on top of one-time revenues. It's just not responsible. And we can't allow it, no matter how compelling the cause is, and there are so many here. Healthcare costs continue to be the biggest driver of the state budget growth, accounting for nearly 30% of our budget today. At our current pace, Delaware's total spending on healthcare will more than double over the next decade. That puts a squeeze on both Delaware families and business owners. These rising costs also make it harder to invest in education, in public safety, and in our workforce. Here's the bottom line. We're spending too much money on healthcare and not getting the best results. We all need to come to the table, state government and the hospitals most of all, and be part of the solution. The hospitals and other providers in our state have been working hard laying the groundwork for this effort for years. Now it's time to make some hard decisions and change the way we deliver health care in Delaware. Secretary Odom Walker is working with many of you to come up with a plan to do just that. If there's any place we can do this, it's here in the state of Delaware. Through the work of the Government Efficiency and Accountability Review Board, or GEAR, we're also focused on making government run more cost-effectively. Many ideas have come from dedicated state employees themselves. Ideas like changing how we deliver technology to our schools, modernizing how we record and process sentencing orders in our courts, and improving how state agencies utilize banking services and purchasing cards. In the coming months, we will begin implementing many of these recommendations.
Carney then turned to state workers and his plans to make a greater investment in them.
As an initial step toward investing in our workforce, last week I announced my support for paid parental leave for all state employees. This is the right thing to do for our workers and for their children. As part of our focus on improving workplace conditions for state employees, I directed Secretary Johnson to analyze our state's current sexual harassment policy and training and to recommend ways to improve it. In the coming weeks, we will announce a series of changes to ensure that no state employee is made to feel uncomfortable or threatened at work. At the same time, we'll be working to improve diversity and inclusion in every state agency. particularly in hiring and promotion practices. Our first step was to hire the state's first chief diversity officer. State employees deserve to work in spaces that are clean and well-maintained. Unfortunately, many state buildings have fallen into disrepair, are poorly lit, and are in need of a little TLC. I will be proposing money in my budget to invest in our facilities, to increase productivity, and give our employees a happier place to work. Yeah. And finally, and I'll talk more about this in detail next week, I believe we need to pay our state employees more fairly.
Ann Carney also discussed where state prisons stand nearly a year after last February's hostage standoff at Vaughan Correctional Facility that left one correctional officer dead.
Nowhere have we made more investments in our state employees than in the Department of Correction. 15 days into my administration last year, the hostage incident at James T. Vaughan took the life of Lieutenant Stephen Floyd and stole a sense of security from the thousands of correctional officers who go to work every day throughout our system. We have been working every day since February 2nd to make our prisons safer and to address the conditions that contributed to this terrible tragedy. Based on the independent review team's recommendations, we reached an agreement to increase salaries for Delaware correctional officers. We have implemented significant investments in equipment, recruitment, technology, and training at the Department of Correction. And we're installing cameras at James T. Vaughan and other correctional facilities as we speak. I made a commitment that the independent review report would not collect dust on a shelf. It has not, and it will not. Changes will continue in 2018, led by Commissioner Phelps and with the guidance of a special assistant we appointed to make sure this work gets done quickly and well.
To conclude, Carney challenged lawmakers to join him in working together to deliver for all Delawareans.
I've met countless Delawareans who are working hard and working together to make life better for their neighbors. The National Guardsmen, DEMA, and DelDOT employees who deployed at a moment's notice to Puerto Rico and Texas and Florida, and who work around the clock in snowstorms to keep us safe. Maria Hazard, the teacher at North Georgetown, who holds our state's future in her hands. The grandmother I met knocking doors on Oak Street in Wilmington, who makes sure her grandkids do their homework each night and get to Pulaski Elementary School safely in the morning. Probation Officer Walker, who puts his life on the line to keep our neighbors safe. These men and women are my North Star. They make hard decisions every day in order to make life easier and better for somebody else. They expect us to do the same. They've put their trust in us, and we cannot let them down. This past year, we were faced with our fair share of challenges. But they did not shake our resolve to get things done, and they will not going forward. We're not always going to agree on the solutions, but we can all agree on the goals to make our economy stronger, our healthcare system more effective, our community safer, our state workforce strong and stable, our children more ready to compete for the future. Working hard and working together, we can and we will get this done.
Those were some of the key parts of Governor John Carney's State of the State address. You can hear the entire speech at DelawarePublic.org. So how did lawmakers receive the speech? We'll have some reaction next on this week's edition of The Green. But first, a check of your local news headlines here on Delaware Public Media. Thank you. Welcome back to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Last segment, we heard highlights from Governor John Carney's State of the State address. Now, some reaction from lawmakers. We talked to a few of them Thursday, moments after the governor finished, to get their thoughts, starting on the Republican side with House Minority Leader Danny Short.
Well, we'll start with, you know, just your general impressions of the governor's speech today.
I thought it was a great speech. I mean, he brought it's what I call a high-level vision speech of things that he'd like to do and things he'd like us to do with him. You know, we all agree on his goals. His goals were, had great merit to him. The question becomes, I took my list and made a dollar sign against those that had a price tag to them. I think there's 12 or 15 things that have new price tags to them. So the question becomes, what is it you can afford to do? So that's going to be the key to the success of this state of the state.
Let's talk about a couple of those specific things that have price tags. Pay raises for state employees. How likely is that something that can get the support necessary to happen?
Well, I think it has a very good likelihood of happening. To what degree, I don't know. And it all depends, again, on how the forecast of our revenue and our expenditures come out as we move through this year. You know, everybody's kind of gotten on this bandwagon that we've got a lot more money than we have. Truly, we don't. We have more money, but the expenditure side of that equation is up. So when we talk about what Medicaid expenses will be, the state health employment benefit rise will be, and how many new students will be in our school districts, is probably going to eat up that revenue forecast that's up at this particular point. So we'll have to see. We'll probably get along where we prioritize some of those initiatives, see which ones we can do and which ones we can't afford to do.
You mentioned the teachers. Does that one seem to be one that's almost a necessity because of the growing enrollment?
It is, and those numbers are on a steep incline. And it's expensive. Truly believe that class size is important. That's why he's probably recommended the 200 teachers, and we'll see more in the detail of the budget. But when you take a look at the demographics that we have, the English language learners are, an expensive situation for us. Not that we shouldn't do that. We should. And some of the other programs that have been initiatives that have been introduced are putting a strain on that budget. We've got to kind of figure out how we're going to handle that. And that's a long-range goal, and it's a goal we've got to really come to talk about more about and how we can handle that. That's why you've seen that discussion again on school consolidation. It's a struggle to try to push that budget to an affordable number and still meet those goals that we're trying to accomplish for the kids. And that's an important one, really is.
And on the education topic as well, there's the Christina plan that continues to try to come to fruition. It sounds like he's looking for some additional money to make that happen. How tough a sell is that? We've seen it. It has had problems from pushback on all sides.
Well, I think where that struggle is, the city of Wilmington is important. I agree with him. I sat at dinner the other night at the Chase Center with Mayor Perzicki. The city of Wilmington is a very important economic engine. And we haven't even talked about the initiatives they mentioned at the port. So there's a whole other arena there it's huge. But that same child in the city of Wilmington that we're struggling to educate and provide adequate resources to is the same child in Seaford, in my district. So this is a whole system. It's not just an isolated system. I can appreciate the fact that he wants to solve that in Wilmington. We're very willing to talk about that, very willing to engage on that issue. But we're also hopeful that we'll take care of our districts in the southern part of the state as well, because those kids struggle equally as much. And he mentioned, kudos to Fred Douglas. That school is a stellar school to be emulated, and we got to do those type of things. So I agree with him on that. Where we struggle on the initiative is on the dollars. If we had an unlimited resource of dollars, we would probably do all those things. But I remind everybody that pool, we don't print money. And the money we gain is from the taxpayers of the state, and we have to respect the fact that they, too, have concerns about us taking money from them to do some of these initiatives. So.
You mentioned the port, so I do want to talk and get your thoughts a little bit on that possibility.
Yeah, there is a board there that has control over that port. I respect all of those folks. They do a great job. I think the port, from an economic development standpoint, is an important aspect for the entire state. We even have folks from Seaford who have offices there that engage in that transportation and logistics business. So we'll see what the details are and what it is that they're talking about putting in place. I'm sure those price tags are going to be as expensive as some of those we've heard for many years, so we'll see. I hate to use that acronym, but really the devil in the details is next Thursday. So looking forward to hearing what the budget's all about. So.
And finally, I do want to ask about the prisons. You mentioned about the progress that have been made there. Are you satisfied with the direction things are going in now with the prisons here in the state?
I am satisfied with the direction we're taking, but we haven't reached the end yet. We really have a lot more work to do with our prisons. I talked to some of our correction officers. There's still great concern in the prisons. There's still a lacking number of officers. There's a great initiative underway to kind of gear up that workforce in two reams of what I call advancement. That is the correction officer that purely wants to be a correction officer and those that want to be in management. We've got a lot more work to do, but we're on the right path. I do think it's been pretty slow, but sometimes those things take time to develop.
That was House Minority Leader Danny Short and his reaction to Governor Carney's State of the State address. We also got a few minutes with his fellow Republican, Senate Minority Whip, Greg Lavelle.
I guess, a lot of great aspirational goals in there, but tell you what, I'll be here next Thursday to hear how we're going to pay for them all. None of the ideas are bad. When the governor sort of leads off, says we can't spend money we don't have. We spend more than we take in and then rolls out any number of spending initiatives. It'll just be great to budget address next Thursday.
One of those spending initiatives sounds like perhaps a pay raise for state employees. Your initial thoughts of hearing that?
I'm always happy for people to make more money, but we have to figure out how it's going to pay for it, so I'll have to be there next week.
One of the other things he talked a lot about was the city of Wilmington and trying to do work there, both in the schools and in economic development. Your thoughts on putting so much focus on the city of Wilmington and how important that is to the state?
The city is important to the state. All our cities are important to the state. So, again, we'll have to see what they are. There's deep-seated social issues in the city, poverty. We have ideas about economic growth and activity, and hopefully we can marry some of those together and provide the city with some jobs that they don't have today.
One of the things he mentioned was investment in the port and perhaps a new facility in Edgemoor.
It sounds like a new facility in Edgemoor.
And so your thoughts on that type of initiative?
Again, we've not been briefed on any of that. The port facility, we've been assured, is not going to cost taxpayers any dollars, either for the new port or the expansion of the Wilmington port. So that's a great thing. If we can get a partner in here to do that, didn't work under Governor Markell, but if Governor Carney's able to get it done, that's a great thing.
One of the other things he talked about that's going to cost some money is 200 new teachers. Obviously, that's another area where it's something that people want, but how do you pay for it?
Well, again, we are a high-spending state today. We're one of the top five spending states today by any number of apples-to-apples comparisons. So if we want to make those additional expenditures, we have to pay for them somehow. Again, it was a great speech. I heard a lot of fiscal contradictions at the beginning. We can't spend money that we don't have. We can't build in one-time money into the budget. We spend twice as much than we take in, and by my count, 8 to 10 to 12 new spending initiatives, including some significant ones like that. Maybe the governor and Secretary Walker have come to find ways to save money on health care, and we can certainly reinvest those dollars if that comes to fruition.
Your thoughts on getting support for the Christina initiative? Because obviously there's some pushback from the Christina School District. How about here in the legislature? Are people going to be willing to get behind that, particularly if it's going to have a price tag to it?
It's just impossible to follow. Every day I hear the MOU changes. I have no idea what it says today, so I'm not going to opine on it until I see it.
And finally, in terms of prisons. Oh, sure, absolutely, sure.
Yeah. So on that, that's fine. There are low-poverty schools across the state. So there is a policy and a political issue there to say if we're going to waive capital, traditions, I guess, and how we pay for capital improvements in schools, there's probably plenty of other districts who will raise their hand and say, what about me? So, and again, to the specific Christiana School District proposal, it changes, every day. So until we see it, I just have no idea.
And finally, on the prisons, are you pleased with the progress that's been made in addressing the issues in the Department of Correction and in the prisons?
Yeah, and I'm hopeful it'll continue. I mean, the prison guards have difficult jobs. We're trying to do stuff around criminal justice reform. I served on the Justice Reinvestment Task Force years ago, and some of those things still come into fruition. And we need less people in prison and more people working.
That was Senate Minority Whip Republican Greg Lavelle. For the Democratic reaction, we turn to State Representative Helene Keeley of Wilmington.
In my belief, I thought it was a very well-delivered State of the State. I was very happy to hear that the governor still is focused in on not just the state, but obviously had a lot of comments about Wilmington. And as someone who represents the city, I was very happy to hear those concerns. We've made a lot of really good strides forward over the last year with the governor's help and with the cabinet's help, but we need to maintain that and we need to continue to move forward.
Is there anything particular he talked about within the city of Wilmington that appealed to you specifically as something you feel like that is going to make a real difference?
Actually, I heard two things that really caught my attention and are continuing or happening right now, and he in his plan is to continue forward with them. Is one, to have the cabinet council meet and to focus in on certain areas in the city where there's high poverty levels and or high crime areas, and making sure that we're focusing in on parents of children that are in these areas that may have given up hope after the Great Recession of 2008 and 2009, may have been laid off from their job, may have been looking for years and years, and just haven't been able to find a job that is paying what they were being paid before. A lot of these individuals are working, but some of them are working two part-time jobs, and it's just not cutting it.
How about the proposal on the port? How important is that in your mind to really moving things forward in the city of Wilmington and around there?
Well, not just as a city resident is that important to me, but from a state perspective, it's very important. As you maybe recall, I was on the port board for a number of years, and I don't even think a lot of people really realize how important that port is to us. I mean, the fact that, you know, on a weekly basis or on a bi-weekly basis, we're sending ships of cattle over to the Middle East those calves are pregnant with baby calves, and we're sending them over, and how integral the port is actually to our agricultural community downstate. And a lot, I'm not really sure if someone who's sitting in Laurel right now understands how very important that is. Unless you're a farmer or you're involved in the agricultural community, they may not be aware of it. It just so happens that the port and the possible expansion of the port are close to the city of Wilmington, or in the city of Wilmington, and are close to the city of Wilmington. So the majority of the jobs may be going to individuals there, but it's just as important to the folks and the farmers in Sussex County.
How about the situation with the Christina schools and the effort to get this memorandum of understanding done? Obviously, that's been very difficult. The governor sounds like he's going to ask for some money for that. How difficult is that going to be to get people on board?
I don't know the answer to that question. And if I did, I'd probably be in a much different position than I am. But I am still hopeful. I know that, you know, we have to do something. I mean, there has been so much lip service between, you know, the Wilmington schools and last year moving forward with, you know, Tony Allen and Dr. Rich and trying to get that moving. And before that, the neighborhood schools task force that Senator Henry and I did. I mean, this has been going on way too long. We get to like the 10-yard line and all of a sudden the rules in the game change. It's very frustrating to me, but I am hopeful. This governor, I've never seen him more committed to making something happen than it is on this subject.
And he also talked about hiring more teachers. How significant is that in your mind?
Well, it's more, I think honestly the forgiveness program is probably more significant than anything, because, you know, you have teachers who they just may not want to go into the city, but maybe if they were given a forgiveness loan for their education, that may change their mind. And I think once individuals get there, they're going to realize that these kids are in dire need of someone to just care about them. And I think that will end up opening up teachers' minds and their hearts and realizing, hey, you know what, this is very fulfilling to me than possibly teaching in a suburban school.
But a number of these things, of all things that cost money. The governor talked about trying to create a more sustainable budget, but also we're talking about spending some more money. How difficult a balancing act do you see that being to try and do all these new things, but also do some of the things he's talking about, getting spending under control?
Well, I think we should always be reviewing our spending. I mean, as any family that goes home at the end of the day or gets paid every other Friday, we look at our checkbooks and we see what we can afford that week. I mean, this is something that we have to do on a yearly basis. What can we afford and what we cannot afford? You know, I'll throw a little plug in there for House Bill 110. That would help if that was passed, and it would help, you know, with some of the finances that we could possibly face in this coming year. But again, you know, we have to be fiscally responsible, and that's our number one job. All these initiatives put aside, at the end of the day, you know, we have three things that we have to do. We have to keep our citizenry safe. We have to educate our students, and we have to provide services to Delawareans that need state services. And those are the three things that we need to do.
That was State Representative Helene Keeley of Wilmington reacting to Governor John Carney's State of the State address. And stay with us. We wrap up this week's edition of The Green with our arts playlist and more on a new event and initiative coming to the Delaware Contemporary in Wilmington. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media. Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. As part of a larger initiative to create artistic exchanges with Chinese artists and arts groups, the Delaware Contemporary will host an event next month called China Pop, Contemporary Year of the Dog. For this week's arts playlist, Delaware Public Media's Kelly Steele sat down with Joseph Gonzalez, executive director of the Delaware Contemporary, to discuss the February 16th event and talk about exchanges between the Delaware Contemporary, its affiliated artists, and China-based arts organizations and artists.
You've got a big event coming up on February the 16th, China Pop Contemporary Year of the Dog. What's it all about?
Sure. Well, China Pop is our take on the Chinese Lunar New Year party and is inspired by Chinese contemporary art and culture. It's a celebration of the new year of the dog that's coming up. And, of course, art and creativity, which is what we know how to do best, is front and center. It is a festive event and will include music by DJ Zip, who will work in Chinese pop music into his signature sort of funky sets. We'll have some handmade dumplings on signature cocktails. We'll auction some items for dog lovers to mark the year of the dog. But the real sort of central piece is a pop-up installation and auction of Chinese contemporary art that evening.
And you're asking people to come dressed with a splash of red for good fortune, right?
Exactly. So as I mentioned, you know, we really want to have fun with this, and we're inspired by the art scene, the surging art scene in China right now and the markets there. And so we do, you know, want to ask people to wear red for good fortune and to help bring in the new year in a way that would be familiar in mainland China. And so the red is definitely going to add to that. So we hope we'll be dressed in red. The museum will be dressed inside in red, and we hope that folks will be too.
All right, let's delve into this a little bit more. So China Pop is really part of a larger initiative to create artistic exchanges with Chinese artists and art groups. Talk about that a little bit.
You're right. This is a kickoff of a much larger plan that we have for the next 3 years to create some cultural diplomacy and exchanges between the artistic community in Wilmington area and the scene and markets in China. You know, I have done some work there in my previous role at the University of the Arts and seen, you know, just how the culture is transforming there, particularly through youth culture. But the art scene and the markets there are really on fire, so to speak. So we're looking to create opportunities, obviously, for the Delaware Contemporary, but to see what kind of creative exchanges we can bridge between those art the art communities. And we're working with a young artist, Willie Yao, who will be helping us as a curator and what I'm calling him is a creative in residence, to help us both navigate and connect our art community with art communities in Shanghai and Beijing to begin with.
So you said over the next 3 years, this is all part of a larger initiative over the next several years. Has anything like this magnitude been done like this before by the Delaware Contemporary?
No. Obviously, we have international connections, and we have done shows like Due South, which brought artists from Italy. And so we do have a record of bringing in and working with international artists, but something this comprehensive and intentional hasn't been done by us before. And we have another exciting piece that's falling into place as part of the larger project. And this example is that we're traveling our exhibition, Eastern Poesia, which was features work by Delaware native artist Monique Rollins. And it will be featured at the U.S. Embassy, an exhibition there in March. And we're seeking other opportunities and gallery connections while we're there. And so we're laying the groundwork for this larger project. So, you know, we're working with Willie Yao, and we're also, you know, it's a dynamic setting. So we've got to be there, too, to create some of these opportunities and build this bridge.
All right. So how can the general public, people that are listening to us right now, get involved with China Pop?
That is a great question. So we, you know, we don't want to do this work alone. As part of this larger effort, we are looking to collaborate with partners like the University of Delaware, Department of Art and Design, and we're looking to, we're working with the student union, the Chinese Student Union at University of Delaware. So the first thing that folks can do is join us for China Pop and get a sense of how we're approaching this. And if there are folks in the larger business community or creative community that have connections or contacts or ideas, we'd also love to hear them. And they can reach us at info@decontemporary.org, or they can give us a call.
Okay, and China Pop Contemporary Year of the Dog is happening again on Friday, February the 16th from 7 until 9 o'clock. Everybody is encouraged to get tickets, correct?
Exactly. We do have some limited capacity, so this is an event that you're interested in, celebration, do get your tickets sooner. If there are tickets available after the 11th, we will make tickets available at the door as well. But since this is our first time out, we're hoping to have great success, so I would not sit on it because we're really, trying to create this wonderful festive environment and fill the house with just great energy in the spirit of a New Year celebration.
All right, Joseph, are we leaving anything out about this the larger initiative that we talked about a few minutes ago? Are we leaving anything out that you feel the general public needs to know?
Yeah, I just I do want to add about China Pop that. We are featuring a sampling of Chinese artists. Some folks might be familiar with Colette Fu, who is a Philadelphia-based artist who works on paper, and her is very well known for these pop-up books that use high-quality photography and feature places, often Chinese ethnic communities and other interesting sites where she has traveled, along with a line of four other U.S.-based contemporary Chinese artists. And so we're excited to introduce these artists to a wider audience and the collector audience. And this is emblematic of the kind of opportunities we want and exchanges we want to create. I could also say that we will be featuring artist Willie Yao in October in our experimental gallery. He will kick off our experimental gallery series, and so people will get to see Willie's work firsthand. And in 2018 and 2019, with Willie Yao's help, we will be curating shows of both Chinese emerging artists as well as some more established Chinese artists as well. So we're getting the ball rolling there, so there will be more details on our curatorial activities with contemporary Chinese arts. And on the flip side of that, we're also building opportunities for our studio artists and other Wilmington-based artists to work with these artists and to create exchange residency and exhibition opportunities in mainland China as well for our wider Wilmington area-based artists.
Thanks to the Delaware Contemporary's Executive Director, Joseph Gonzalez, and our Kelly Steele for their time in this week's Arts Playlist. You can learn more about China Pop, Contemporary Year of the Dog, at the Delaware Contemporary's website, decontemporary.org. And that's all we have time for on this week's edition of The Green. These stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website, on iTunes, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to everyone who helped make today's show possible, Delaware Public Media's Sarah Muir and Kelly Steele. For them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.